You are now listening to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. This is episode 230, and today is May 28th, 2025. Everything you hear on this podcast episode is non-commercial, fair use, Creative Commons license. That is the group Groundation from their album We Free Again. Really, really great group. I can remember back when I was in grade school, I would always have to ask for permission in order to do anything. I can remember I needed to ask for a permission slip to go to the restroom, to go to my locker, to speak to somebody outside, or whatever the case was, I always needed a permission slip in. I can also remember that when I was at my job workstation, I would need to ask for a permission slip in order to take a lunch break. In life, most people live a life of asking for infinite permission slips in the form of constantly seeking the approval of others, aka permission. Now, as we get into the episode, I'm not talking about literal permission slips in order to go to the restroom. What I mean is living a life with a self-limiting mindset, living life day to day, not realizing that they are created in the image of God. They just find it much easier to get on in life by clutching on to their ego in order to gain self-validation. Many people live their whole lives asking for permission slips in order to walk the path they want to follow. People are always living a life where they are constantly seeking the approval of others. These same people are not living their own authentic life. They are just playing a role of an actor in someone else's movie, and they don't even realize it. One of the reasons most people are constantly seeking permission slips from others in life is a fear of being disliked by others. Real freedom is the ability to be disliked and being okay with it. As a matter of fact, if you walk around and everybody loves you and everybody really likes you, something's wrong. Or you're doing something really wrong. You need to be able to feel safe in your own body. Or to phrase it in another way, you need to learn how to trust yourself. I'm not telling you that you can't trust anybody and that you should only trust yourself. What I'm saying is that if you choose not to trust yourself, you instantly revert back to living your life as a character in someone else's movie. Many people reach the point in life where they feel stuck, they feel unfulfilled, and they need to project all of their pain and guilt onto someone else. But the fact is that they exist in a state of failure and suffering because the reality is they're not even living their own authentic life. One of the other factors in this equation is the ego. The greatest enemy to living your true self, actualized life are these: the ego, fear, and negative self-talk. The whole purpose of the ego is to make us feel safe in our own body. While the ego can provide some sense of security and control, it can also lead to fear, anxiety, and a limited view of reality. Your ego will give you a false sense of comfort because as life presents its challenges, its ups and downs, its victories, failures, and just day-to-day living, the struggle of life, the ego positions itself in a way in your psyche where the ego tells you that all of the issues that you have are not your own fault or don't come from within you, and that you need to understand, or it gives you that feeling that it's from an external. In other words, don't do any self-reflection. Don't look at yourself. The problem is external. And, you know, basically what the ego is, to kind of oversimplify it, as I refer to in a lot of my old episodes, is like the fluffy pair of bunny slippers and a little comfort blanket where you could snuggie in and bury your head and cover your head with the blanket and just feel cozy and comfortable. And that's really what the purpose, or one of the purposes of the ego is. And it can be very dangerous. I'm not saying that there isn't a need for ego. Yes, there's a healthy aspect to the ego where it kind of drives you to do better. And it's just an element of self-reflection in a sense, when used in the proper way, the ego. But the problem is a lot of people basically lean on the ego and leave it at that. In other words, they feel that, you know, the ego is going to give them all the comfort and all the reassurance that they need. And that could be very, very dangerous, because it's not reality. It's a false sense of comfort and a false sense of reality. So the ego is something that has to be managed and has to be really understood very carefully, the effects that it's having on you and the results that you're getting in your life, because the ego will definitely lie to you and mislead you. It's kind of like that Joe Rogan episode with Dave Smith and I believe it's Douglas Murray, where they were talking about the Middle East and everything that's going on, all the genocide that's going on over there. And the guy, you need to watch that. I mean, a lot of people say that Douglas Murray ruined his career. But Dave Smith, you know, Douglas Murray, Dave Smith was talking about what was going on and everything that was happening, and Doug, you know, in the Middle East and Gaza, basically. And Douglas Murray asked Dave Smith, he said, "Hey, how do you know all of these things are going on over there? You know, how can you comment on something if you've never been there?" Like, that's the whole joke, the way he said it, with this real snooty attitude. You know, have you ever been there? How can you comment on something if you've never been there? Like, I don't have to be in China to know that there's a Great Wall there. So, again, and that's a really good demonstration, or a demonstration of how dangerous the ego can be. Okay. As a matter of fact, I'm going to play a little clip of it right now.
Still slightly bemused about this move from "I'm an expert on this and I have views" to "I'm a comedian."
I've never claimed to be an expert on anything.
This is the problem, Joe. If somebody
says... Wait a minute, you have to claim to be an expert on something to have an opinion on something?
No, you don't have to be. I'm not a historian, but I'm pumping out history.
But wait a minute,
I'm not an expert, but I'm talking all the time about this.
But you're not even talking about specifically on what he just said. What's the solution? To not talk about it?
No, it's to have more experts around.
The expert class hasn't done a great job,
I know,
man. This is During all of COVID, I will put my track record against any of the expert class on COVID. So should I have just shut up? Should I have shut up by opposing lockdowns and opposing vaccine mandates and talking about
the
lab
leak
theory?
That's the entire
argument that you're making. Let the experts handle this.
No.
You're not an expert.
You're wildly not listening to what I'm saying.
You're saying I claim to be an expert, but then I have like a parachute to get out of it by being like, "Hey, I'm just a comedian." But I don't think I've ever, like, really claimed to be an expert.
Why
I have
are you
opinions
going around,
on things.
I know, but isn't it weird to be simultaneously saying, "I'm not an expert on a conflict," and talking about it everywhere?
I don't see how you...
Do you talk about these things?
Some of them, yeah.
Are you an expert?
I am on some, yes.
On some,
but you talk about some that you're
not
an expert on.
What should you do if those subjects get breached?
Well, I think that you educate yourself as much as you can.
Shouldn't you say, "I'm not an expert," and then give your opinion if you're in the middle of a conversation?
I think it's a weird move to say, "I'm not an expert on this, but I'm going to talk about it nonstop." I think that is...
Listen, I will certainly concede that I am weird, but I just fundamentally disagree with this idea that there's an expert class. They can have opinions on all of these things. It's weird for any regular person who's just read about it.
Not my view.
This was the most intense exchange between...
If you take a slightly deeper look into what Douglas Murray's doing, it's basically rhetoric. there is a thing that goes back to the Middle Ages that was the foundational framework of education back in the day. I think in the 1400s, I believe it was. I might be wrong. But it's called a trivium. And the trivium is comprised of three core disciplines, which is grammar, logic, and rhetoric. And what rhetoric is doublespeak. It's like proving your point, persuading your point, making something that's not true sound true. You know, it's kind of like legalese, you know, courtroom type tactics. It's called rhetoric. And that's the perfect example of what Douglas Murray is doing here. If you listen very closely to him, he's just contradicting himself. He's saying, how can Dave Smith have opinions if he's not an expert? But Douglas Murray's not an expert either, but he's correcting everybody else. So that's basically what we're being handed to right now. Basically, in an oversimplified way, it's like a permission slip. You know, it's like Douglas Murray is asking Dave Smith for his permission slip. In essence, you know, he's saying, you know, have you ever been there? You know, what are you an expert on this? You know, he's trying to invalidate anybody that disagrees with him, and he's not an expert either. So it's craziness. It's definitely a good episode to go back and see. I think it was last month. I think it was in April, that interview, but you can see that on JRE. But anyway. There are two paths to progress in life. Path number one is to do the hard work, to study, to do research, learn from your mistakes, grow from your successes, and just pound and pound and pound and just learn, listen, speak to people that know more than you. And again, research and just grow and put in hard work, okay, and effort into this, okay? That's path number one. Path number two is to take the easy way out, or the path of least resistance, by asking for permission slips, everything that you do in order to fit in, and don't make waves, you know? Put your head down, go back to playing the character role in somebody else's movie. It's as simple as that. Like, I see it just so obviously, man. You have to have the ability to be able to cut through the BS when you see things going on. But what I see right now, and it's basically what everybody's looking for the perfect excuse of why they fail, okay? Which to me, again, is a permission slip. It's a permission to fail, if that makes any sense, right? As opposed to granting yourself, empowering yourself to win, winning, okay? Whatever winning means to you. Again, it's not money, it's not fame, it's not designer brands. To me, what winning is to be in the position where you need to be. Again, taking care of your family, paying your bills, and living a fulfilled life where you help people. And when I say help people, I don't mean walking up to strangers and giving them money. I don't mean that. I just mean being positive, encouraging to people selectively, because these days, you know, people could take advantage of that. You might go up to somebody and be nice and mistake that for a weakness, and then they try to rob you or something. I mean, there's levels to this thing, but it's multifaceted, man. It's really, really multifaceted, and that's why you got to put in the hard work. Which, again, people today, I see them on Instagram. I was watching some guy on Instagram the other day talking, and he was talking about how he went for this job interview. He didn't get the job, but you know, the year before he was taking Adderall because he was over hyperactive, and how they didn't take that into consideration because of who knows, and just looking for excuse. These people put so much effort into making excuses and copping out on stuff, whereas if they took that same amount of energy into developing themselves, self-development, that they would have a better life. And again, when I say better life, I don't mean money and riches and material. I mean fulfilling your responsibility that God has given you on this earth, okay? Which is to be a good, solid human being and law-abiding citizen, and to do the things that you're supposed to do, you know? Positive. And again, I've heard it, and I believe it is to be true. I've heard it so many times. And they say that, I forget the country that it is, but they say that there's a country statistically whether people are happiest, they do these type of tests to see how happy you are and fulfilled. And it's one of the poorest countries, in a little tiny island in Fiji or one of these places, and the people there are the most happiest, and they live in mud huts, and they're like extremely happy, healthy and everything. So it's how you take it, man, you know. One of the things that I've found in my own life that I find gives me fulfillment, it's to actively do something, to build, to design, to create. And when I say build, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, create a 5-bedroom ranch on a lake. So I don't mean that. Again, building, it could be something as simple as, you know, setting up a little speaker system for your smartphone where you get more bass, or finding the right book that answers a lot of questions that you've had to, or reading different types of philosophy, cracking open the Bible and reading, you know, the book of Matthew. Lately, one of the things that has given me great fulfillment is I've been listening to Alexander Scobie. He's a narrator, a reader on YouTube, and listening to him read the Book of Enoch, which was removed from the canonical text. It gets into the Nephilim and such in the Old Testament, and Ramuzel and all these different fallen angels. Really fulfilling to listen to it. As a matter of fact, I've been listening to the Book of Enoch now, probably going to be the fourth or fifth time that I listen to it all the way through. So part of the beauty / challenge of life is to find these things, because this system is perpetually presenting you with different things on your iPhone, when you go outside, you know, when you see people, you know, looking to get the perfect sneaker that's going to get them the acceptance that they're looking for. And funny enough, now you look at the sneaker market has fell through, like it's, you know, nobody's paying all that money for sneakers anymore. And then the new thing now, they're saying that the Rolexes are being made in China. They finally realized it. The Hermes bags and the Louis Vuitton bags and all of these bags, they're being made in China, and it cost them, I think the guy said, $1,200. But yet they sell the bags for like $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. And people are so stupid. They make the whole bag in China. They ship it to Paris, and Paris puts the Hermes or Louis Vuitton label on it. I think Louis Vuitton might be Italian. But whatever the case may be, they put their designer label, like a little leather patch on it. They sew it on, and they say it's made in Paris. I mean, it's just a deception. And it's people that are impressed by geometry. You know, that LV symbol, that geometry that's on there, or the Hermes, or whatever that illusionary, prestigious emblem is. You know, people fall for it, you know, as opposed to investing in themselves and their own personal growth, right? Investing in being positive and being good to their parents and good to their coworkers and learning new skills. I will say one thing, man. It's getting a little crazy out here with everything that's going on, because they want to drag us into war. They want to bomb Iran. I don't think Iran is playing that. I think it's a big mistake, because Russia, China, and Iran, they have a mutual pact, mutual, you know, defense pact, where if one is attacked, the other one is going to defend them. You know, right now, Ukraine's getting wiped out. They're pulling innocent young men off the streets, and it's not their fault. They're just regular citizens in Ukraine. They're being pulled. Zelensky's pulling them off the street. It's not Zelensky. It's the bankers, and it's the, we all know what it is. But they're pulling them off the streets. I don't want to get more shadow banned than I am. But they're pulling them off the streets, shipping them out to the front line to fight Russia, and they're just getting all blown to pieces. If I'm not mistaken, probably close to 1.5 million. Young men have been killed in war in Ukraine. And a lot of those guys are mercenaries that go out there. They're not even Ukrainian. They want to drag us into war, you know. And you have to be informed. You don't see a peep out of it on the mainstream media. It's always projected as if Russia's doing this evil thing, or Russia's doing that evil thing. A lot of it has to do with something. And I try to keep you guys up to date. I think some of you guys are aware of some of the things I speak about and some aren't. So I might spark you or kind of enlighten you to some stuff that you didn't know. So there's a thing that's coming up. It's called the BRICS nations. And that's Brazil, Russia, China, India. I think there's about 40 or 50 countries right now. And also a thing called the Belt and Road Initiative that's coming from China that's going to change. Basically, America's getting phased out. The dollar's collapsing. You can see the price of everything going up. I bought a dozen eggs. My wife likes the expensive organic eggs, so I mean, I bought the little more expensive one, and it was 18 eggs, and it was $16. $16 for 18 eggs, almost a dollar an egg. It's insanity. You know, you want to go buy a little watermelon, it's $6, you know. So the dollar's collapsing. Our medical infrastructure, basically their real initiative or whatever you might want to call it, is basically to kill us all, you know, because of the jabs and just everything that's happening right now. So what does that mean? It means that it's time to put the toys away and to really start charting the path of what you need to do. In other words, storing food, storing some medicine if you have it, getting healthy. If you're a little bit overweight, try to get yourself in better shape. And whatever health issues that you have right now, try to clear that up, because you might be put in a position where you might have to do real hard physical work. I mean, they're just so many, they're talking about EMPs coming down that are gonna cut off the whole power system in the country, which would put us basically into the dark ages, man, because if there's no power, everything runs on power. The computers get cut off, the water stops running, the electricity, obviously the EMP is going to cut that off, and communications going to be down, food. This, everything that we live in the world right now is again, is run on debt and credit. So that's going to be cut off because that's all computerized. It's going to be a crazy time, man. So honestly, man, if you're living in a big city right now, I would highly, highly recommend that you get out of that big city and go. I moved myself. I'm in South Carolina. I've been here for almost 3 years, man, and I'm loving it down here. This is God's country down here. Beautiful weather, really nice people, honest people. They're not full of it, you know, like up north where a lot of people, they smile at you, but they're phony as heck, you know. So these are things, man. It's, again, it's time to put the childish things away and put the toys away and tighten up your circle, because a good amount of the friends, supposed friends that you have, couldn't wait to just stab you in the back. So see that evidence in what's going on in these urban cities right now, where people are kind of losing their minds. These young men, they're so emotional, a lot of these gang members and everything like that, blacks, Puerto Ricans, even whites, the Blancos, everybody. They're being brought up by single moms on welfare in the projects, when the ghettos, and like they say, in the trenches, and they don't have a father figure in their life, and whatever they learn from their mother, and how do women react to most things or whatever, to a large degree, not all women, but I don't want to paint it in a broad brushstroke like that, but a lot of times women are very emotional, and they deal with things emotionally without thinking first. They go right to emotion. And that's what they learn. So emotionally, what do? They have a conflict with somebody, and what's the first thing that they do? They're going to shoot the guy. Oh, he did me dirty. He did, you know, whatever. He's grimy. You know, I got to get mine. I got to, you know, and that's what that is, you know. And then one guy kills one guy's friend. They start spinning the block. They start shooting one another. And this is exactly what the system wants, because it wants death and destruction. It's satanic. It's satanic. They say with all the pedophilia and the children that they're finding, and it's just craziness. And I heard it said the other day, because I was kind of wondering to myself, what's the thing with children and this whole pedophilia and everything like that? And what it is the most precious thing to God is an innocent child. A little innocent child is the most precious thing. There is, even Jesus said it. It would be better for you that a millstone be tied around your neck and thrown into the ocean than if you hurt one of his little children or little child. So what happens is, people that are satanic, they look and they say, what is the greatest evil that I can do is to hurt the most innocent thing there is, which is a child. So that's what they do. And it's darkness versus light. What happens is, I don't know if they realize it, but at the end, light and God wins 100%. Right? So it's really, and I'm not trying to dictate whatever religion you believe in. I mean, whatever your religion you're in, follow it and get close to God. I'm Christian, and I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the earth, Yeshua HaMashiach, the merciful Jesus Christ. And crack open the Bible, man. Go through, you know, get the red letter edition of the Bible. Read, because a lot of people don't trust the Bible. They said it was written by this and that, but if you get the King James Version, red letter edition of the Bible, go to the New Testament and read all of the sections where Jesus speaks in red. Read that and tell me you don't feel something, okay? And then the next step beyond that is, like, a lot of people, they feel either demoralized or they feel like, oh my God, you know, God, there's no way God can forgive me or whatever. No. There could be nothing further from the truth, because when Jesus walked this earth, he went to the money lenders, he went to the, you know, prostitutes, he went to criminals, he went to the leper colonies, the people that were really the lowest dregs of society, man. He went to them and he spoke to them and he saved them, you know? So it's just playing out right in front of our eyes in real time right now. You can literally see it, what they're doing, the military industrial complex with the genocide that's going on right now, the medical, the jabs, the debt, the crime. Now what's happening is, what about this kid, this one kid that he stabbed another kid in the heart in Texas, you know, and this kid is going to get a life sentence. He's 17 years old, because he stabbed another kid in the heart because the kid told him to get out of his tent. You know, he was in the wrong school's tent, you know, and then it's becoming a whole charge racial issue. I'll tell you, man, we got to put all that stuff away, all that racial stuff, because that's exactly what they want us to do. They want to divide and conquer us, man. Don't look for reasons to fight. Look for reasons to unite. Right? So, I mean, if you have any common sense, you'll understand what I'm saying. But I've been going on here. Let's see. I'm on my Audacity here. It's what I use. I've been going on 26 minutes. So I do want to thank you for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. And thank you for listening. Oh,
the works of William Gordon. The fire as Judas come, thinking them can read on the words of Marcus Garvey.
Riding to the wall. I want back them picture that hangs on your wall. For where once the sun rose, now night falls. Some may say, oh, what a blue sky inside. Yeah, yeah. When out of the distance I see lightning strike, I will never hide them. Shall come a new land shining in this here dark land. For the Most High dwells with man tonight. See the fountain of Eden flow, was born out of the hearts of man, who could not see them as they pray and live. Just as more fill upon my head, I do not understand. Your truth is why I, and I shall bring forth his axes, freeing us out of bondage, and we could finally rest our weary souls.
Thank you. Welcome to the Alpha Male Buddhist from Brooklyn podcast. I'm your host, Miguel. I like to cover topics from ancient history, great leaders and generals from the past, and I also like to talk about self-realization, truth, critical thinking, and strategic spirituality. Outside the box, nonconformist. I'm here to shatter the myths of the mainstream media and the beta sheeple narrative. I do want to thank you guys for listening. Praise Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Praise Jesus Christ's name. My link tree is Alpha Male Buddhist Pod. Links are in the show note descriptions of this episode below. There in my link tree, you will find links to my Instagram, Telegram, Rumble, Odyssey, Twitter, and my free episode archives. If you're a new listener, I have also included links to my top-rated episodes. These are specific episodes of the podcast that are the most popular and listeners have given me the most positive feedback on. Some of these episodes are also in video format, so you can not only listen to the episode, but you can watch the accompanying video to that episode. Also, contact me for my free Academy of Liberation handbook, which is in PDF format, along with a free audiobook version of the handbook. So check out the show notes below of this episode for all of my content links.